Hello, my friends. This is Brett Kiesling, host of the ESOP podcast and producer of the Owner to Owner podcast, both for the EO Podcast Network. Jesse Tyler's guest today is Matt Kropp, the executive director of the Vermont Employee Ownership Center, to discuss the VEOC annual conference, which is going to be held May 31st, 2024 in beautiful Burlington, Vermont. Check out the show notes for this episode at www.ownertoownerpodcast.com. We'll include links to the VEOC and more conference information. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the Owner to Owner Podcast with your host, Jesse Tyler, part of the EO Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Owner to Owner Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse Tyler. We have a special episode today. We do this annually for the Vermont Employee Ownership Center. They have an awesome conference. For those of you across the country that may not yet be familiar with the VEOC, the Vermont Employee Ownership Center, they are a leading state center and they host one of the best conferences on any scale I've been to in 17 years. So I'm a big fan, try to be supportive. That'll be fun for you to hear directly from Matt Kropp, their director today. So we're not going to talk to frontline workers. We're going to talk to the executive director of the Vermont Employee Ownership Center. So Matt, welcome aboard.
Glad to be here with you.
That's great. So I wanted to give a little maybe under the hood, they might say, or behind the music to the conference itself and give you a chance to amplify. You've got a great lineup, a whole mix of different sessions and formats and speakers. You've got an amazing keynote speaker. But let's give a little insight to the ownership world of like, who is Matt Kropp and what do you do in your role? You hear executive director, job titles rarely explain what that person does. Like a plumber does plumbing, an electrician does electrical work. Beyond that, most titles don't connect. So what do you do as an executive director? So our listeners get a little bit of insight.
Well, you know, a lot of executive directing. No, but seriously, you know, so we're a small nonprofit. We have three permanent employees, and then we do an internship once a year. So as ED, in many ways, it's kind of like, you know, and anything that my other staff doesn't do is my responsibility. So we have, you know, a full-time communications person, Ryan Thornton, who really carries that well for us. And then a part-time kind of generalist who really does a lot of our kind of data wrangling and some support for some of the smaller conversion deals we work on. But I do everything from, you know, a lot of the admin of the organization, a lot of talking to business owners who are considering employee ownership, working with employee groups who are considering becoming employee owned, event planning, presenting to seminars. There's a, you know, wide gamut of things where really my role and the organization's role is to, you know, promote and foster broad-based employee ownership in Vermont. So we have a wide variety of ways that we do that, of which the conference is a big one.
That's great. So just curious, how much of your role, you could speak broadly for your team, but how much of the time are you nurturing existing employee-owned companies like this wonderful conference versus really focused on growing and having new folks join the employee ownership?
You know, the kind of promotion of expansion is, I'd say, our kind of primary focus of energy and time, because in many ways, the existing companies do have a number of different things out there, like the ESOP Association and NCEO and chapters and all of these things that, you know, so there's a number of different resources that exist to kind of both support directly and facilitate peer support. So when we think about kind of what is our place in that side of things, one is just the kind of, you know, the hyper-local stuff, right? The chapters are, the ESOP Association are at the regional level, the conferences in the worker co-op world are national, and there's, you know, certain parts of companies that can engage with that. But there's also a lot of value in the getting to know your literal neighbors. And so, mm-hmm. So we kind of focus on, you know, Employee Ownership Month, getting together conversations of folks who are, you know, let's get together for dinner and talk about, you know, from different committees who are within driving distance and talk about, you know, how ownership culture is built, or, you know, doing a little HR peer group of folks who are just, you know, only in Vermont, and that sort of thing, where it's that sort of knitting together the local relationships and finding mm-hmm. a place of collaboration and shared learning is really, I think, kind of the place that we focus our energy when it comes to those existing companies.
That's really cool. I appreciate the insight. Yeah, the knitting together of the local. I like that a lot. So this is more about you. What do you enjoy most about I think you just described 11 to 13 hats that you wear in a week. What do you enjoy most about your work for the VEOC?
I think, you know, the ability to just the variety in many ways, right? Mm. It's, you know, talking and, you know, having relationships with a lot of folks who are both in existing employee-owned companies, but also dozens of companies that, maybe at some point in the future might consider employee ownership that we have ongoing contact with. And it's such a diverse and interesting mix. So, you know, one day I could be talking to someone who's, you know, the third or fourth generation running a lumber mill in a rural area. And the next day talking to someone who's, you know, in this, you know, high flying consulting firm, you know, who's thinking about an ESOP and everything in between. So it's the opportunity to really have your finger on the pulse of this kind of like wide variety of the companies that sort of make the economy of our state here go.
That's great. Yeah, I appreciate that. So let's go to the conference. This is quite an undertaking for your team. We hear from mm-hmm. you months ahead of time. It's a planning. It's an annual process. So just sort of an overview so people, you know, can appreciate, again, sort of a behind the music. What is your process for planning an ownership conference?
Yeah, so this conference we've been doing for over 20 years now. Mm. And when the center started, our founder was mentored by some folks at the Ohio Employee Ownership Center. And John Logue, who was their founder, kind of made the point that, you know, a conference was a really great way of building community and sort of a central event to sort of get a sense of like that employee ownership is not just one company here, one company there, but, you know, there's a lot of things that really come well from it. And so, you know, for us, we've been doing it for many years, and there's some things that are consistent, but we're always trying to kind of figure out ways to improve. And as it's expanded, you know, the thinking about, you know, we've had to occasionally move to larger venues. And, you know, this year, again, we're adding an additional sort of, we've had five tracks of sessions. This year, we decided we're going to have six tracks, so as we had record attendance last year. So there's that kind of, you know, each year getting together after the conference and looking at the evaluations people share, which are really important for us to think about how to tweak the knobs and to make it a little bit better each year. And so we also this year started our planning work a few months earlier than we normally do, because both of my colleagues' partners, one has just had their first child in January and the other one is expecting within the due date is in about a week. So we're like, all right, we need a plan for this period of, you know, family leave. So we were like, all right, let's get stuff front loaded a little bit early. And that's actually felt great this year in terms of just sort of like feeling like we really have things nailed down and can have more space to get things fine tuned. And so I think that's one thing that looking forward, we might think, all right, yeah, actually feeling like getting started a month or two earlier than we tended to previously is a big thing. So, you know, we get going and think about, all right, well, what was the content that really resonated with people? What were people asking for that we didn't have? And we send out a call for proposals to, you know, a big list of folks who, you know, either we've had encounters with or we know have presented at other conferences and have expertise that is broadly respected. We have a little committee that's, you know, a mixture of folks on our board, and we oftentimes include some folks from different employee-owned companies as well to sort of look at the proposals and see, okay, what fits, or is there duplication, or could we combine some things? And there's this kind of massaging of what comes in, and we always have some sessions that it's less of a we're looking for a proposal and more looking, you know, we know we want to cover this content and thinking about who would make sense to cover that particular thing, right? Things like, you know, the intro to employee ownership. We always want to have something for the, you know, total newcomers who know nothing to, you know, get a, you know, a good sense of what it is and things like that. So we kind of, you know, get that in place. And then, you know, the other big piece of it for us is, you know, is the sort of a sponsorship side, where, you know, a big chunk of our funding comes from each year comes from, you know, the conference, and particularly the sponsorships of the conference, which mm-hmm. are, you know, employee-owned companies, service provider firms, economic development organizations. You have a pretty broad base of folks who've been supporting us over the years. And I'm happy to say that this year our sponsorships are, you know, also kind of hit a new record level. So that's
great.
That's feeling pretty good in terms of kind of where we're at to get this transition in a really good place.
Yeah, you've got a lot of momentum. That's great. And I appreciate the insight. I thought that would be interesting for listeners, where, you know, you do a call for proposals, but there's that part that you added that there are certain things you want to, you know, tap people for and make sure that you have the whole range, the content. So I appreciate those insights. So looking at May 31st, people can learn more on your website. What are attendees or participants at your conference in 2024 going to walk away with? What are some of the learnings they can actually apply when they get home?
Yeah. So to a certain extent, that's a little bit of a different answer for the different types of attendees. And one of the great things about this conference is the opportunity for people kind of coming from somewhat different places to mix and learn from each other. So we have folks who are coming who, you know, they're thinking about employee ownership and there's a track for them. And our goal for those attendees is really to come away with a solid sense of what is the ESOP model? How does it work? What does implementing one of them look like? And could this be a good fit for my company, or is it worker co-op or an employee ownership trust the direction I should go? So it's an opportunity for those folks to both learn a lot of those nuts and bolts details, but also talk to those of you who are coming from employee owned companies and get a sense from the first person perspective of, oh, this is something that can work and this is what it means. And that's incredibly valuable for those newcomers to get a sense of really what employee ownership is beyond the abstract ideas and structures. For folks coming from employee owned companies, you know, it's kind of a mix of, you know, definitely we aim to have folks walking away with, you know, some updates and kind of new technical knowledge that's relevant to the structures they're in, whether it's, you know, the ESOP or co-op model. You know, we want them to sort of also from a culture perspective, we try to have a rich vein of sessions that get into, you know, what are some of these cultural practices and approaches that different companies use to really build a strong ownership, you know, a strong ownership culture and identity among employees. And that's a recurring perennial topic that, you know, the goal is to both have people really sort of understand what are their peers doing and also, you know, walk away with some very practical tools that they can decide, oh, do I want to try implementing this in my company? And then finally, I'd say, you know, that the networking relationships, right? There's both the you know, understanding what's out there in terms of services, if you need services, and also just, you know, my experience is the employee ownership world, you know, in other parts of the business world, oftentimes I've seen, you know, companies having cultures that are very guarded in terms of how they do things. My experience in the employee ownership world is that folks are really sort of, you know, often happy to share and collaborative with other employee owned companies. And so the relationships of people, you know, when you're sitting at lunch or you're in a session or talking about it afterwards and those other things are something that, you know, this is an opportunity for a lot of folks to break out of the silo of like, this is how we do it at our company, and, you know, make those connections that they can then come to later and, you know, and see people at other events, or if they have a question and they know that person had a really good idea or a really good comment about this particular approach to HR, or, you know, whatever it is, that sort of, you know, tightening and deepening the network of connections between employee-owned companies and employee owners is one of those things that is, you know, not something that's, you know, inherently, you know, in the title of a session, but is one of those things that we always see as a big impact of the conference for the broader employee ownership world.
That's great. Yeah, great insights. Thank you for that. Yeah, I always encourage, I've spoken and I've supported you, the ESOP Association. I do a lot with the NCEO, and I start every session with, you know, let's take a moment, meet your neighbor, renew acquaintances, leave with one or two new connections. But please, please, everybody, share out when you get back for the people who can't come. Lots of people want to go to conferences, but they have parent care, child care, pet care, other limitations. And if we don't share it when we go back from something like a rich day at VEOC conference, then it doesn't extend the value as much. So I hope people are going to be able to do that. So last question is around your Melissa Hoover from the Democracy at Work Institute. You have consistently good speakers, and I'm really excited to hear Melissa share her thoughts. What are you excited about with the Democracy at Work Institute, Melissa, and the keynote speech?
Yeah. So Melissa is really, you know, one of those people who, as long as I've been in the employee ownership world, she's been playing a variety of different roles, but is one of those people who both has some deep practical experience and also is really sort of, you know, gets and sort of has, you know, interesting perspective on the big picture of like, strategically, how are we, you know, building the employee ownership space, right? And so, you know, and her talk will be kind of really focused on communicating ownership culture and, you know, and really some of the lessons learned from, you know, her experience working with worker co-ops, being involved with the Kelso Institute as a fellow there. So, you know, so she has both the connection to the co-op and the ESOP world. And so she's been kind of on my list of like, oh, it'd be great to have her come at some point for years. And I was excited that this year she was able to really make it work. So, you know, I think, you know, she'll be both great at that. And then, you know, we're aiming to have her plugged into, you know, one or two sessions as well to really sort of have an opportunity for a lot of people to tap her knowledge and expertise.
Yeah, that's fantastic. It's exciting to have her as the keynote this year. It's great. And it's a beautiful space that you have it for folks who haven't been to the Davis Center and getting into beautiful Burlington, Vermont. Nice and easy in and out. Plenty of parking. Great facility. All right, Matt, I know you've got an organization to executive direct, so I want to let you get back to your day. I just wanted to give a shout out to the VEOC. Appreciate the incredible work they do as a state center and give a little bit of insight to the owner-to-owner listeners of what goes into that conference if they're interested in understanding that a little bit more for maybe even their own state conference, and appreciate the work behind the scenes by the dedicated staff that make the centers work. So again, Jesse from owner-to-owner with Matt Kropp from the Vermont Employee Ownership Center, talking about the conference. I always like to close with, if you can, buy employee-owned co-ops and beyond. ESOPs are great too. I happen to work at one, a winning one, but shop at co-ops and look for ways to buy employee-owned, work employee-owned, and enjoy employee-owned conferences. This podcast is done for Brett Kiesling and the EO Podcast Network to amplify ownership, grow, and educate. Thanks to the listeners. We'll talk to you again soon.
We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook at EO Podcast Network and on Twitter at ESOP Podcast. This podcast has been produced by Brett Kiesling for the EO Podcast Network. Original music composed by Max Kiesling. Branding and marketing by Bitsy Plus Design. And I'm Bitsy McCann.